Today's scripture reading will be 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation you will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it.
Back in the day when there were actually newspapers, there was actually the funnies page in the newspaper. You know, the different columns, the different drawings, whatever. In the funny pages, four scenes. Four specific scenes. In scene one, there is an egg. No words, just an egg, but it's kind of got a crack in it. Scene two, no words, but you can tell that there is some birthing going on. You can see that the egg is more cracked and there's some work going on that the chicken is trying to get out of the egg. Scene three, no words, chicken sitting there, egg laying on the side, chicken with great big eyes looking out. Scene four, chicken trying to crawl back in egg. Have you ever looked around at the world and felt, whoa, that's too big for me. I wish we could go back in the egg. We're going to look at a few chapters, a couple of chapters, a couple of sections in the scripture. One in the New Testament, one in the Old Testament. Would you take your Bible and turn with me to the 73rd Psalm? Psalms, right in the middle of your Bible, Psalm 73. Psalm 73, and we're going to talk today about what did the chicken, little chicken, see? What the chicken, little chicken, saw that would have him go, whoa, and crawling it, wanting to crawl way back in, back into the egg. Psalm 73. Surely God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, I'm in a time warp. I'm talking time warp. I'm talking when there was a newspaper, and then I'm going to talk about a TV show. The show was Seinfeld. Any of you old enough to remember Seinfeld or see Seinfeld on some of the reruns? Seinfeld started there's an expression that came from Seinfeld that I still hear young people talking about once in a while, even though they don't even know what Seinfeld is. You ever heard the expression somebody saying, oh, yada, yada, yada? You know what it means? Yapping and no meaning. Ba, 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 ba. Take you back to verse 1. We have to say, oh, God is good to everybody. Oh, God is good, yes. You ever heard in the church said sometimes, God is good, and the congregation is supposed to come back and say, all the time. And then the front person in the front says, and all the time, God is good. Can you try that with me? God is good, and all the time. But is there ever anybody that has a little verse 2 in them? But as for me, ever felt that way? God is good all the time God is good. We all know that, but as for me, Asaph that wrote Psalm 73 is a good priest. He knows he has grown up in the system. He knows all this God stuff. He knows all about the rules and the regulations. He has been taught from his mama's knee all about how good God is and how wonderful it is to be part of God's people and how what a blessing it is to have all these. As you read through the psalm, it might look like he maybe was even dealing with a little bit of being sick or something. Has anybody here ever had the flu? Ever had the flu? Okay? If you have, you really feel spiritual at the time, don't you? Huh? You know, have you ever had something, call it the flu, call it whatever, maybe it's just the blues, but is there anybody here that has ever experienced, oh yeah, God is good all the time God is good. But as for me, you ever had that? It seems we know the expressions, we know the yada, yada, yada. I've grown up in it, I know the verses, I know this, I know that. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. Why? Because, he says, I've done a little looking around, and I see. I can tell a little bit of one on myself. I grew up. I'm grateful for it. Great parents that taught me about God and the blessings of God. And they taught me about the blessing of working and being involved for 6 days, but the seventh day is special. And I can't tell you how many times as a young person who loved the ball games, the playing them and the seeing them. And in my day, seeing the, you know, the game was on Saturday afternoon. Maybe if you're lucky, you might get a Monday night game too. But the rest of the time, they weren't on TV. That was my day. And let me tell you, it felt so blessed and so wonderful to know that I had the blessing of a special day that was Sabbath, and my Cincinnati Reds were playing that afternoon, and I couldn't watch. And I could tell you all about how God was so good to Israel and good to, but as for me, it didn't feel so special. And when I'd get looking around, all those other people that didn't have this special business of a special day, they seemed to be doing fine. They even kind of enjoyed doing fine. They didn't seem to be any trouble for not doing or for doing or for being or whatever. Everything seemed fine for them. You ever have that? But as for me, and he says, I'm looking around and I'm seeing the other people, and I'm seeing people bragging about how they're saying, well, who is God and what's he have to do anything? And they're doing fine. And they're living fine. And they seem to be getting the same blessings I do and maybe even a little bit more. And they're doing fine. There's even some of them that go, ha! Look at you over there, toiling away, trying to be a Christian. I'm doing fine. Verse 4, there don't seem to be any pangs in their death. Their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other people, nor are they plagued like other people. Pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff, they squeak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily or proudly. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue walks around the earth. Therefore, his people return here. Waters of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge of the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. You ever felt that way? You ever looked around and said, it feels like the wrong side is winning? Ever had that happen? You ever had that business of, I'm trying to follow the Lord? And I'm following the Lord, and I, you know, and I know that business about 6/7 beats 7/7, and I know that part about 9/10 beats the 10/10. But I've been doing my 9/10, and I could use that 10/10 because I got a little more month left. You ever had that happen? You know, yada yada yada. I know God is good. I know God is good all the time. But as for me, like Asaph. Verse 13, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain, and I've washed my hands in innocence, for For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. My dad. My dad was the fifth of six kids. He was the fourth of five boys that grew up. He grew up in a home when he was, about the time he was coming along, his mom had been learning some stuff about trying to take religion serious. It was in the business of his mom had had somebody that was a Seventh-day Adventist Christian come around their house. Their religion in their house was just something, you had the kids baptized at birth, and you had them buried, and other than that, you didn't go to church. And mom was all of a sudden starting to take this religious stuff seriously, his mom. And they were trying to deal with it and trying to go along with it, and some in the family did and some in the family didn't, and it was back and forth. And my dad, you know, my dad, if he were alive today, would be 90, so we're talking back a ways. And his brothers were older than him. His brother, Mike. Mike was the tough one. He was the World War II vet. He was the guy that had been everywhere, done everything, seen everything. Mike could out-cuss anybody. The only one I ever knew that he couldn't out-cuss was his wife. She was tougher than him. Mike was told one time he had heart trouble and he needed to quit smoking. Okay? He quit smoking and went to chewing instead. That was Mike. Okay? Mike would eat anything that would move. Sometimes he'd eat it while it was still moving. Mike never did anything to take care of his health. In World War II, he got rheumatic fever. So Mike struggled with heart trouble, and he died at 62 years of age. Okay, that was sad, and that was bad. But, you know, he kind of lived in such a way, you go, well, okay. Then there was Orville. Orville was a couple years older than Mike. Again, a World War II vet. Up where I'm from in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, he was the first one that was taken in to the VA hospital to try and do a heart bypass surgery. He was in his 30s, I think. They opened him up to do bypass surgery, and they said the vein in his leg was in worse shape than the one in his than the ones around his heart, so they sewed him back up and sent him home to die. He lived to be 71. Tough to die. My dad did some thinking about this. He got cancer when he was 64, he died. And in that last year, he was doing a lot of, what is this? I tried to take care of myself. I tried to do, how is this that God is good all the time? But sometimes, as for me, it doesn't seem like verse 14, it says, for all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of the youth. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. I know this business about God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. I've been trained this all the time. It doesn't feel like it's going the right way, but I don't even have the courage to say enough. I'd have to be going against everything I believe, and it just doesn't seem right, and so I feel torn any way you go. You ever been in that situation where all I feel is guilty? You know? If I take this side, that doesn't feel right. If I take that side, that doesn't feel right, so here I am just sitting here. I wanted to walk away from the whole thing, Asaph says, but remember now, he's part of the tribe that is responsible for taking care of the sanctuary. Ever done in a situation where you feel like your religion is just going through the motions? Stuck here and Asaph says, that is me. I'm struggling with this. Verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary. What was it Asaph saw in the sanctuary that had him rethink his poor is me and how frustrated I am and why isn't God blessing me enough or whatever. What is it Asaph saw in the sanctuary that has him saying, maybe I ought to rethink this? What did he see? He tells us as he goes along. Put it this way. Asaph was reminded of the "and then what" question. You ever heard us talk about the "and then what" question? You know? What? We do it with our young people. What do you want to be when you get through high school? Well, I want to go to college. Okay, and then what? Well, then I guess I'm going to get a job. Okay, and then what? Well, then hopefully I'm going to get married and going to have kids. Okay, and then what? Well, I guess I'm going to get a little older. Maybe I'll get a shot at being a grandparent. Okay, and then what? Well, I guess somewhere in there, I guess I'm going to die. Okay, and and then what? See, could it be that Asaph was looking so closely at what was going on in his little world that he had kind of would help to back up a little bit and look at the big picture? Back up and look at the big picture, and the big picture has the "and then what" question. And then what? Ran into that a little bit in the New Testament. Turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, Jesus is talking. As the story goes, verses 60 and onward. John chapter 6, verse 60 and onward. Jesus is talking, and he's gotten to the point. Remember now, Jesus is in the early stages. He has had mobs around him. He was a rock star. He was helping people get over leprosy. Nobody had ever seen that before. He was healing people. Nobody had ever seen that before. He had a guy that was laying there at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, and the guy was healed. Nobody had ever seen that before. Jesus is a rock star. Everybody's coming to him. But then he starts saying things like, well, why don't we live for God, and why don't we let God bless us, and why don't we let people see what God is like by looking at us, and that isn't quite as popular. Let's just say that song isn't playing as well on the radio as is the healing and all that kind of stuff. And people are not hanging around as much, and people are leaving, and people are leaving. Get down to verse 67. Verse 66, it says that from that time many of the disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? Look at verse 68. Peter answers, and gives what I would suggest is probably a pretty good answer. Where are we going to go? Where is there that's better? We have the promise of a wonderful God that loves and blesses, and sometimes it doesn't feel like the right side is winning. But let's try this again. And if you're going to leave, where am I going to go? Peter goes on and says, we have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where are we going? Can we try this again? I jokingly refer to it as a song. You've probably heard the song. So you had a bad day? play it for you. But I just think the words are pretty cool. Where is the moment when we needed the most? You kick up the leaves and the magic is lost. They tell me your blue skies faded to gray. They tell me your passion's gone away. And I don't need you carrying on. Stand in the line just to hit a new low. You're faking a smile with a coffee to go. You tell me your life's been way offline. You're falling to pieces every time. I don't need you carrying on because you had a bad day. You're taking one down. You sing a sad song just to turn it around. You say you don't know. You tell me don't lie. You work at a smile and you go for a ride. You had a bad day. You ever been like that? You know, somebody tries to sell you something good and you don't want to hear it and you're just having a bad day. Does a bad day mean a bad life? Does a bad day mean everything is horrible? You know, how many times have we seen that with my kids? You know? Well, what's wrong? Oh, everything. Well, what's everything? Well, that's just awful. Well, what's just awful? Everything. Okay. What's everything? It's just awful. Yeah, okay. What's just awful? Everything. Wait a minute. We got to get off this cycle. Been there? Could I suggest that's where Asaph was in the first part of the chapter? He's having a bad day. He even leaves a hint that he's probably kind of physically ill. It's just frustrating. It feels like the wrong side is winning. Here I am slaving away in the temple, and there's supposed to be some good in it for me. I'm supposed to be blessed for it. And then there's that guy over there that isn't doing anything, and he's got it better than I do. And you ever notice when you take your eyes off Jesus, start looking at the people around, they look a lot different? Crying our beer. Some of us go cry in different places and different circumstances and different whatevers. Maybe we ought to just remember that living in a sinful world, and is there a God in heaven that reveals secrets? Is there a God that loves so much that he gave his son? Promise that it would be all be wonderful and rosy all the time. What did he promise? Verse of scripture that was read to us just a few moments ago. Can I be sacrilegious, and can I move some words around? Can I use a different word? Okay? In other words, I'm going to play off of the verse and not quote it exactly right. It says, there is no temptation overtaken you, but such as is common. God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape. Doesn't promise that you won't have temptation, but it does promise God will be with you and make a way of escape. Is that right? Can I switch one word? Take the word temptation out and put the word situation in. Not just temptation. Is there anything that God will allow me to go through or to deal with that is beyond which he gives me the strength to handle? I probably will feel like there is at the time. Right? I mean, some people have dealt with some pretty tough things. I look back at my world up to now in my first 57 years, and there are times when I say, whew, I've had it, you know. As of yet, I have never once, since the day I was taken out of the hospital, I have never once had to spend a night in the hospital. That's pretty good. The losses that I have had were two grandparents and my dad, and I was 32 when my dad died. That's pretty good. A lot of people have had a lot tougher circumstances than that. So my life, I look back at and I go, man, I've had it pretty good. But when I'm down and discouraged, I look back and I go, oh man, how could I have had it so terrible? You know? Have you ever been like my kids? What's wrong? Oh, everything. What's wrong? Terrible, terrible, terrible. Everybody's against me. You ever felt that way? But my God promises nothing beyond my ability to handle it. But notice what he says about my ability to handle it. What does he say? No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God never promised he'd dump more on us or allow the devil to dump more on us than he would give us the strength to be able to handle. God has always promised that he would never allow something to be dumped on us that he wouldn't be there and go through with us. Daniel chapter 3. Friends of Daniel. God didn't promise he wouldn't let them go through the fiery furnace. But when Nebuchadnezzar was looking in there, how many people did he see? Who did he say that fourth one looked like? But as for me, I know God's good in Israel, but as for me, I'm down, I'm frustrated, it doesn't feel like I'm winning, the wrong side is winning, I don't feel well, this has gone bad, that's gone bad, what's wrong here? Until I went into the sanctuary. And I saw what my God is doing with the sin problem. It's all about God separating sin from sinner. Saw what God was doing. And I saw that regardless what's going on in my world right now, my and then what looks pretty good. I guess Aesop was saying something like this. I've got a little longer to operate. May not be winning in my 3-10. My God has promised. Bigger and then what? And with that in mind, maybe I can say, I don't feel too good and I don't feel too hot, but I know in whom I believe. Keep that which I've committed. Maybe, just maybe, that's good enough to say, I'll keep hanging on. Because if I'm going to leave, that in our sinful world and in our darkness and in our search, we are so grateful that you don't give up on us, you don't leave us hanging out there discouraged all by ourselves, and we're so grateful that as our God, You'll be our encouragement. You'll be our strength. And we thank you for the promise that you are our future.